My lord Ulrich is no longer. All that you asked of him, you may now expect of me. The dangers he would face, I will now conquer. The task he would undertake, I will now fulfill. I'm Galen Brad Warden, inheritor of Ulrich's craft and knowledge. And I am the sorcerer you seek.
Greetings and well met, travelers. You have found your way to Dragonreel, a magical journey to the realm of fantasy movies.
Welcome to Dragonreel Episode 2. I'm your host, Chris, and that's not a spear in my creek. I'm just happy to see you. With me today in chair number 2, when she wears a hat, she makes the prettiest man you ever saw. She is not qualified for sacrifice, and she is my shield maiden and yours. Here's Sharon.
Wait a minute. What do you mean I don't qualify for a sacrifice?
You're just...
Oh, the whole...
Yeah.
Being...
Yeah.
Oh, you have to be a virgin. And wait a minute.
Yes.
So, if I wear a hat, do I look like a man?
No.
That's good.
Okay. And with me in chair number 3, his magic acorn always sparkles. He'll walk a mile with an arrow in his gut. He was twice the man as anyone on the podcast, and now he's twice the woman. Father Palpatine himself, here's Pete.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
And we are talking about the movie, the 1981 film, Dragon Slayer.
Indeed we are.
And what a movie it was.
And what a movie. This one features Peter McNichol as Galen Brad Warden, and Caitlin Clark as Valerian. And if you're actually reading the IMDb page, there's the spoiler about that she's not a man. But we'll get to that. The basic premise of this movie is a young wizarding apprentice is sent to kill a dragon which has been devouring girls from a nearby kingdom.
I would say that this movie is sort of a coming-of-age movie about a young wizard, and it's also true love.
Oh,
I know, right? It's coming of age for Galen and for the young soldier who then turns out to be a woman.
A woman.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's also about the death of magic, too. I mean, it's sort of deep if you think about it.
It does make a point of that.
It does.
And
it's
the death of it ties the death of magic and dragons and wizards into the rise of Christianity, which I think is actually one of the more deft things it does with this movie, with the story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my summary of the
movie. Gotcha.
How about Pete? How do you recap this?
I recap this as one of the cagiest sorcerers ever to live, and that he's the last surviving one. Manages to pull one over on everybody and come back at the end to end in a spectacularly blowed-up good finish.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So the plot-wise, a troop of townsfolk come beseeching a wizard for help, and the wizard says, I will show how wizardy I am. I will let this guard stab me in the chest. And he dies. So they cremate his body, and the townspeople go back to their homes, and the sorcerer's apprentice catches up with them and says, hey, whatever you expected of the other sorcerer, you can expect of me, because I found this magic acorn, and it's this amulet. And the amulet allows him to do magic.
Wait, what does...
I would consider that a talisman.
Okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
What do you mean by the magic acorn? Is that a reference to another movie?
No, it is about the size of an acorn, and it hangs around his neck on a string.
Oh,
and it looks kind of like a gem, actually. It's kind of a dusky gem, and then it glows whenever he can actually channel magic.
Right.
Oh, okay. That's what you mean. All right. Now I understand.
That's why my acorn always sparkles.
I see. I totally get it now. I think I need things explained to me sometimes. But I didn't like Galen's voice in the beginning. He didn't seem very real to me. It got better during the movie. But...
Right, and I think at the beginning he was trying to play much younger. Give the impression of being much less experienced. But go ahead.
No, I don't think it's so much that. I think he plays suck up to the sorcerer for whom he works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of being the yes man makes him sound wimpier. And it isn't until the talisman starts to respond to him and obviously, quote unquote, chooses him that he feels, right. Ha ha, my testicles have dropped. Let's go. Well,
there's definitely a visible dropping of testicles in this character.
Yeah, there definitely is.
I guess I didn't like the beginning very much.
He is kind of whiny. He's kind of annoying.
So I guess it worked for Pete, didn't really work for me, didn't get the whole... You know, I didn't understand whether the stabbing was supposed to happen or not supposed to happen. I think for me, there were just parts of this movie that were very confusing. Mm-hmm. And I can't decide if it was a visual thing or if just like where the guy got shot with the arrow, like, why did one of the three guards even shoot him with an arrow?
It's that the one guard, Tyrion, really seemed mean for no reason, just so that he could be the bad guy.
I don't think he was mean for no reason. I think he was just generally not a good person.
Right. And but it seemed superfluous to have him in the movie. I mean,
I think the reason for him was that, one, you get to keep the king at home.
Right.
But two, it makes him, he's actively against magic. You know, and the thing is that you can tell that the reason why he's actively against magic is because he feels like it's charlatanry. He feels like you're being taken. And there's the moment when he's got the knife in his hand and he's got it against the chest of the sorcerer. And the sorcerer says, your knife can't harm me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he gets a look of wonder on his face just for a minute.
Yeah.
And then he stabs him. And when he dies, he turns away in disgust and tromps out. And I think he genuinely hoped that his knife wouldn't hurt Sir Ralph Richardson.
I'm going to go along with that, okay. Because that does make sense. And in fact, his facial expression in that scene was the most expression we got out of him through the whole thing.
Okay, but still.
And true.
Why?
He also had an expressive beard to hide behind.
Yeah.
But why did he shoot the guy? He says to
his cohort, I bet you he's coming to finish his master's work.
Okay.
And so he's going to keep, what was his name, Hobb?
Hodge.
He's going to keep Hodge from continuing on to Erland because he doesn't want the status quo messed up.
Hmm.
You know, it's working. He's in a position of power. The kingdom is prospering. And all that you have to do is lose the occasional virgin twice a year.
Well, and guards are allowed to just murder people out of hand if they
As the head guard, I mean, what the hell?
Right. Well, I guess
he's got to have some job perks. It's not like he's got a 401k.
Apparently so. So I guess I didn't
He's
really
the head guard, but there's like only three guards in the entire kingdom.
Yeah, that was weird.
Well, yeah, that happens a lot in 80s fantasies movies.
Yeah, this was a very bottled kingdom. The kingdom had exactly one village.
Yes.
And it had exactly three guards. Yeah.
And one castle.
Right.
So, and one princess.
You
actually get to see more guards in the escape scene.
Yes, I did notice that. I went, what, did they just hire these people?
No. The problem is that they can only work every other day.
Ah, okay, that's what it was.
And wait a minute, they didn't speak, did they? So
They're unpaid extras.
They don't have to pay them as much.
Yeah.
I think one of the big problems here is that this is an intensely visual movie. It's the first kind of live-action Disney fantasy film.
Right.
With them getting away from animation for once and including dragons and wizards. Dragons and magic.
I did ask Chris, I said... You know, I think I'm missing things. I don't think that this particular movie was very blind friendly. I mean, no. Chris was describing things, so I would have to say for blind folks, I would give this movie a thumbs down because although there's talking, like you just said, there's a lot of things like facial expressions and the dragons moving.
Well, if they re-release this movie, though, it is Disney, which means that they will put an audio descriptive track on it.
Which would be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I agreed. And, you know, there were very nice things to look at with the countryside and the effects. And most of the effects were great.
Like the effects.
For 1981, they were great. There were some
things... Yeah, I mean, for the most part, the puppetry that they used for the dragon and everything like that was actually really, really solid.
When the dragon was coming down the tunnel, when it just appeared from the haze and like came out of the haze and was crawling down the tunnel, that looked fantastic.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
Looked really good.
Chris was saying that he's like, this actually looks, he was explaining it to me. He said, this actually looks pretty good for 81, right? That's the year
that it
came out in.
Oh no, it looks great for 81.
And most of it looks great for now. I mean, there are some parts where it doesn't look great. Like the dragon, when it's flying in the air, it doesn't really move.
Yeah, it's very, very chroma key.
Right.
So would you show this to your son, Pete? I'm just curious. So if people were listening to the podcast and they said, you know, could this be a teenager movie or, you know.
Definitely. My son watched it, actually.
Okay. What did he think?
He was really impressed by the side boob.
Oh, my gosh.
This was PG in a time when you could put a boob in a PG movie.
Right, exactly. As a matter of fact, I would think this is a PG-13 movie now by nowadays standards.
Well, the thing is, when it was just PG, you would occasionally see boobs. But when they had PG and then PG-13, they stopped showing boobs in either set.
Every once in a while, you could get a boob. At least
wait a minute. People do get incinerated in this movie. I mean,
which is true.
But I mean,
and also explains why Emperor Palpatine looks the way he does.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
so Ian, how do you pronounce his last name? McDermott?
Ian McDermott.
McDermott. Played the young priest who showed up when they thought the dragon was killed the first time, which tied in the rise of Christianity to the death of magic for the first time in the movie. Mm-hmm. And made some people in town say, oh, it can't be a coincidence. So it converted some people, just him showing up at that point. And then that same priest, facing the dragon, and, you know, standing there and being incinerated because he had faith that he was right and the dragon was the devil, also converted some more people. And I think it turned Grail into the priest.
Yes, it does.
I think seeing that is what makes Grail want to be the priest.
Yes.
I think you're right. But back to the children question, you don't think that that would be too much? Now, I mean, are we talking, okay, how old is Ronan now?
He's 13.
Oh, he's 13. For some reason, I was thinking he was younger. Time flies.
No, not at all.
So for him, that's okay. Would you let a 10-year-old watch this?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Well, the Dead Princess,
Dead Princess was not all that.
It wasn't horrifying?
No, because unfortunately, the puppet baby dragons are not horrifying.
Okay.
Chris,
did you think they were horrifying?
Gross. It was a little gross when she got her foot chewed off.
Yeah,
I agree, but I've seen, you know, equally bad things in all ages anime.
Sure.
Hmm.
So,
what does that mean? All ages anime.
Well, anime and most animated things break down into their own rating system, and so like it would be like TVE, which means that it's available to everyone.
Okay.
You know, TV 14, TV 17, TVMA for, you know, mature audience, that kind of thing. So, you know, I've seen some TVE anime that's got stuff that's equally as bad, you know, like ones where a guy's gotten cut and the blood just goes, psh, 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 you know.
Right.
So
I probably wouldn't show that movie to little kids.
Oh, definitely not little kids, no.
No, I would,
I would go 10 and up on this movie.
Yeah, I think so. I think I would say 10 and up. I'll agree with you guys.
I mean, I would call it a strong PG if it were released exactly like this today.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, I don't even think it would qualify for PG-13 today.
No. So,
well, other than side boob, no.
Right.
So what did you men think, or what did you guys think of the acting in the movie? Who was your favorite character?
Valerian.
Chris? Oh.
Sorry.
I liked her too.
I thought everybody was good except for Galen at the beginning. It was a little bit whiny, but he kind of grew into the part, and I think that was part of the character, was that he sort of became braver by making himself braver.
Okay, and Pete?
Yes.
Who, you said Valerian was your
Valerian.
Favorite?
Oh yeah, no, she's my favorite.
And why is that?
Caitlin Clark did a bang-up job of coming across as kind of butchy.
Okay.
Early on, there's not a whole lot of doubt in your mind that it's a girl.
Right.
But she presents herself so well. Her physicality is so good, you know, and her like when she's obviously led the group of guys all the way to this to the sorcerer's tower, you know, to Craggamore.
Sure.
And so when she gets turned down, she's like, "All right, we're," and you can tell there's that moment of possible threat, like, "We're gonna burn this place to the ground." Mm. She goes, "We're not gonna leave until somebody right. sees us."
Right.
So there.
Yes.
You know.
She sure does. I mean, he does, or should I say, she?
Is she?
I'm not sure.
But the thing is that the way that she's presenting is very, very strong. She appears as a young kind of buck, and you can see where, like, if this hadn't been a trope for so many things in entertainment in the last 50 years, we probably would be a little bit impressed by it too, you know?
Well, there was a line where she said, "Of course I'm brave. I was a man for a while." And I'm like, whoa, you know, women mm-hmm. are brave too. But yeah.
But for her time, she is very down on women because she's only seen them, I think, first
in
off,
the village,
you get the feeling that her, well, not only that, but you get the feeling that her mom died early on.
That could be. That could
they
be.
Never really address it, but there's no mom.
There's no mom. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Well, that's because she's a Disney character.
So, but on top of that, I think it's also the fact that all the other women she's ever seen have been in some kind of subservient role.
Okay.
And I think that to convince herself into the role of being a man, she's had to
be brave.
Try to distance herself from being a woman. And mm-hmm. so she poo-poos women. Mm-hmm.
But she does eye that dress in the one scene. She then, when she thinks the dragon is dead,
yes.
she really, so she has a desire to be a girl again. I also liked the princess. I liked the female characters.
Mm-hmm. I was a little confused. I mean, the princess seemed a little bit too eager to die. I think even somebody who was really dedicated to fairness and equality would still be a little fearful, and she didn't
well,
seem
with,
fearful.
With a dad like that, I'd be quick to die also, honestly.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I think that she was just one of those righteous people, and I think it was Galen that said to her that, well, you know you've never been in the lottery, and she's like, yeah, I have.
Every year and since my was my majority. Since,
yeah, and yeah. She was terribly shocked because the people in this town, I believe, felt that it was their duty. So when she heard that she wasn't in the lottery and she put her name, you know, every single ballot said her name, I think that it was really her way of righting a wrong. And I don't know, maybe she thought the dragon wouldn't kill her.
No, she didn't think that at all.
You don't think she felt
that? I don't. Okay. You see, the thing that's kind of twisted up in me is the fact that I don't think she thought it was going to be as bad as it turned out to be for her.
Right.
I thought that she she was either trying to be a martyr just to prove that, you know, she wasn't some creature on a pedestal.
Right.
But the flip side is also, I think that she didn't think it was going to be quite as horrible being devoured by the young versus getting, you know, crispy fried by the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
That is one thing that I didn't understand about this movie is I think that personally I would have liked it better if the dragon – he just seemed more like an animal than a thinking creature. She, actually, again with the pronouns.
Right.
But
she – I think she had to be more of a thinking creature in and of that she agreed to the lottery.
Right. Somebody negotiated that, and it
right,
worked.
Exactly.
So – there was evidence that it was a thinking, cunning creature with an awareness of a future.
But did you see any sign of that in this movie? That she
mostly
had the
in
ability
the way
to
that she figured out
her.
How to get herself out of the collapsed tunnels.
Right.
And okay. also she listened to the priest as he railed at her for a while before she toasted him.
Okay.
You know, and she and the, that was one of the better parts of the puppetry because the priest starts to, you know, let out this line of invective and the dragon kind of looks at it curiously and rears its head back because mm-hmm. it's obviously never been spoken to before like this, you know. But I you get the feeling that it didn't speak English, which, you know,
right.
apparently is the national language of Erland.
Right. So I think I would have liked it better if there was a little bit more than just those two examples, you know, like that.
No, I agree with you that it would have made a good movie had the dragon been able to speak and done so. I think the dragon would have been a more maybe threatening character. However, at the stage, I mean, this was puppetry and stop motion and not CGI. And I think at this stage, that would not be a an effect that they could do.
That's all they could do with it.
Right. I think if they tried to let her talk, it would have taken you out of the immersion.
They did something similar in another movie whose name escapes me, but there was a gem. It may have even been a dragon pearl that allowed her, that allowed that dragon to communicate telepathically with whomever was holding the gem. So they could have gotten around it.
Well, we'll have to find that movie and explore it.
And then, of course, in Aragon, the dragon riders communicate telepathically with their dragons.
Right. Could she speak out loud? She could, right? She could speak.
No.
She could only speak telepathically.
Yes.
Okay. I forgot.
Saphira could only speak telepathically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nowadays, this all of the puppetry and stop motion would be done with CGI.
Yes.
And so you could make a dragon that spoke.
Yes.
But then I would. I would ask it. No, I'm sorry. Then I would ask, what were the virgins for? Just for the dragon to breathe fire on? That was another point that I didn't quite.
I think we're just going to have to assume they taste better.
Cooked.
But did she even eat them? I mean, the young ate the princess at one point, but that wasn't. You know, like, I think she snuck in.
Right. And she did, into the lair.
Into the lair. But the prince, the, not the princess, the first woman that was chained to the poles in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
You know, the dragon basically just came up, you know, scared the pants off of her. And then just did the fire thing.
Ronan actually brought up a very interesting point.
Okay.
Which was, why did the horse and cart stay there when the sacrifice was brought?
Right.
And then he said, do you think that the maiden is just symbolic and that the horse is actually the meal?
That could be, but I think the horse stayed there because everybody panicked and ran away and the horse was stuck in the mud. I don't think it was deliberate.
But if that's the case, then you know, what happened to prior horses? Or why didn't you use a horse that didn't happen to in prior situations? You know,
that's a good question.
I mean, because obviously this isn't the first time they're putting out a virgin. Everybody probably jumps and runs at a certain point anyway.
Right. Well, that horse did get away.
True. But I don't know if you noticed, it was an interesting thing that he brought up, which was, why did the horse, you know, why would they leave a perfectly good horse behind? Because obviously the Erlanders walked a whole long way. So horses are expensive.
Well, as we were watching it, Chris had an interesting point about a horse, too.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the same horse, Chris?
I think at the end, that was a callback to the horse that had gotten away.
Yes, it was.
But also,
I wish we had a horse, and one appears on the horizon. I think that's the horse that got away.
It is, totally.
And at another point, you said it looked like the horse was actually hurt. When you said it looked like they pulled the ground.
Oh, a different horse. Yeah, when in the scene where he's escaping, the horse that Galen gets from the guard is like knocked over on its side, and I'm like, "Whoa, animal cruelty! Here we come."
Yeah.
It looked like they pulled the floor out from under it because the horse just fell flat sideways.
Yeah, and I said
that
to
was
Chris,
not a staged fall. That horse did not expect that to happen.
Was that a stunt? And he said,
No,
it doesn't look like
it. No, it doesn't look like it.
So,
however, it looked incredibly realistic.
It did.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So there are some, you know, there's some, and the other blue screen effects. I think at the end of the movie didn't really work that well today. I think that part didn't hold up as well as the rest of the movie.
You said you saw clouds in his eyes because
eyes are blue, and so the blue screen effects.
But I thought that was kind of cool too because it looked like. I don't know. I mean, I always like that kind of concept of you're thinking about it. It shows in the windows of your soul. and then it becomes an effect.
Yeah, I kind of suspect that they noticed that in the post edit and went, actually, that looks kind of cool. Let's leave it there.
Let's leave it in.
Yeah.
You know, I also want to say that for a guy who was dying of cancer, Sir Ralph Richardson not only nailed this part, but also the part of the Supreme Being in Time Bandits.
Was he dying at this point?
I believe he had been diagnosed by this point, because the only other part that he does after Dragon Slayer is he's in Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan.
Oh, okay.
Tell us which character he plays in this movie.
He plays the sorcerer.
Oh.
So, and might I say, kudos to the storyline where, because he knew that he couldn't physically make the distance of the travel, that he figured out a way to show up at the battle site, which apparently he saw ahead of time in that scrying pool scene at the beginning.
Right.
So
I wish we could have seen that scene, because
we didn't see what he saw.
Okay.
I'm glad we didn't.
Yeah.
Because the look, the gobsmacked look on his face after he sees what's happening when Galen comes up and tries to snap him out of it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. You can tell. And it's one of those things where it just looks like he's come to accept the fact that he's not going to survive this.
Okay.
But then it's like, did you guys ever see The Usual Suspects?
Yes.
Okay. There's a scene where Verbal Kint is sitting in Agent Coulion's office.
Uh-huh.
And he's just kind of looking around and he looks kind of worried. And after you've seen the movie and you know who Verbal actually is, you realize he's looking around and he's picking up all the points from the office. And that's the kind of look that I get from that. That after you realize that the sorcerer has decided that he needs to be transported to the site because he can't make the trip himself, he's formulating how he's going to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not him looking gobsmacked of, oh, crap, I just saw my own death. It's him going, how in the hell am I going to get to this dragon?
How am I going to do that? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that could well be, and that works as well.
Yeah. So, and I think it's great. And again, it's a nod to Sir Ralph Richardson. He was a phenomenal actor.
Right.
So, Chris.
Yeah.
If you were a character in this movie, could you give us a different point of view of what you'd be thinking or feeling?
Yeah. I actually would like to retell this story from the point of view of a guy that was carrying the drum around on his back through the town when they were giving any official ceremony.
And okay.
Here's the story from his point of view.
Okay.
Ow. 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 Ow.
Wow. Oh, I think
ow.
I got it. Okay.
Ow.
So wait, somebody say something?
Yep. Ow. Oh.
Somebody say something?
Oh my gosh.
Wait.
All right.
I figured he had to be close to deaf also.
Yeah.
That's pretty brilliant. Pete, would you like to tell this story from...
I would like to tell this story from the point of view of unnamed Erlander number 3.
Okay.
We walked a long way just to watch a sorcerer get himself killed by the king of the guard, by the commander of the guards.
Right.
Then we had to walk a whole long way back only to encounter this snot-nosed little wizardling and the captain of the guard again. He managed to do something really amazing and dropped a whole mountain on a dragon. Then it was time to celebrate. Then the freaking captain of the guard showed up again, rained on our parade. Then the dragon turned out was okay. Bad things happened. We lost our priest. Greel became our new priest. That's all I know.
Okay. Yeah, they never actually come. Oh no, they come back after church. That's how they come back. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Sharon?
This is a hard one because when we did the last movie, when we did Aragon, I told it from the point of view of Sophira.
Yes.
And I want to be a dragon again. I want to be one of the baby dragons.
Okay.
Okay.
So
get yourself out.
So, mommy brought lunch. Yum, yum. Oh, nasty, nasty human. Nasty human, nasty human kill my brother. Oh, nasty human kill sister. Oh, nasty human gonna kill me now. Then I'm dead.
Gak.
I know.
Wow. That's and a sad story.
And what did your dad do before he died? He went, ah!
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, where was the dad? Where was the father of this dragon?
Oh, we don't know.
Yeah, he must have left to get some ice cream.
The dragon, male dragons are sort of absentee parents.
Yeah. I understand. That's sad.
They're kind of the quagmires of the fantasy world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because honestly, more often than not, they eat the young. So.
Yeah. So I was shocked about halfway through this movie when it turned out that Dragon Slayer was the name of the spear. The whole time the movie was about the spear, and the spear didn't even survive the movie.
Nope.
So the Dragon Slayer died.
Because I think everybody sat there and thought, holy cow, it's going to be about the spear, and the spear's going to kill the dragon, and it doesn't.
It didn't.
No,
it was the most inappropriately named spear ever.
Well, no, he named it that because he thought that it was going to work, when actually he forgot that he was supposed to use the fire and the water, didn't the guy tell him, like,
this is
what you need to
Hodge was going, fire on water!
Fire on water!
Oh my god, he had the most vigorous death scene ever. He was like,
the guy who plays Hodge has these different roles where he gets to play vigorous moments before he dies.
Guy in movie who dies.
Yeah. He dies a lot, and the last role I remember him in was in The NeverEnding Story.
Oh, okay.
He's the gnome who studies the Sphinx.
Wait a minute. The NeverEnding Story, Chris, is that the movie where I said his impression of...
No, you're thinking of Dragonheart.
Oh, Dragonheart.
I have never seen NeverEnding Story. It sounded like It sounded like too much of a time commitment. I didn't have forever.
Okay.
But the thing is that you could still be enjoying it.
I guess I could, come back to it every once in a while, but a never-ending story is just going to take more time than I have.
Once you start reading, you live it.
Oh, okay.
I'm still living it.
Okay.
So
we'll put it on the list. Actually, it is on the list, but we'll get to it sooner or later. I want to know how are they going to remake this movie today? Because a lot of the ways that they told this story, you don't do today. Like, you don't have a guard just be mean just to make himself look mean. You have, you pass that around to, the whole system, if it's an oppressive system.
Well, but the thing was that I think I nailed why Tyrion didn't like sorcerers in particular.
Mm-hmm. No, I like your explanation of his motivation, because I didn't really understand his motivation for much of it. But you saying that does really illuminate that for me.
Yeah.
So in the remake, they would illuminate that for us.
I think they would make it more clear if they
There would be more exposition, but I think that's one of the beautiful things about this movie is that there are so many moments wherein you don't need the exposition.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that doesn't make it very blind friendly.
Right.
Right.
It's kind of like Johnny Depp's performance in Edward Scissorhands.
Right.
Because he barely speaks, it's all in the eyes.
Yeah, that's why I didn't love that movie either.
So
that's funny, because I love Edward Scissorhands.
I do too.
I know.
I do too, but again, it's a sighted thing. So,
right.
Well, they would do better effects at the end.
Yes.
I mean, that is the main part where this movie falls down today. I think the rest of the movie holds up really well.
I concur.
I like the love scene.
That was nice too.
I would have liked more relationship between them, because it seemed like he fell in love very easily.
Well, but you got to realize that it was a long, long walk back. That was the whole point. They had been traveling. I think it's Greil says when they arrive at Cragamore that they'd been walking for weeks.
Oh, really? I didn't actually notice that. So, maybe. I mean, I would have liked to have seen some of that.
Maybe one scene when they were sitting around a campfire and we could have heard them speak to each other or share a little, I don't know, a s'more by the fire. I don't know.
Well,
something.
I think that's what the swimming scene is supposed to.
Oh yeah, the swimming scene where he finds out that she's
that Valerian's a girl. Yeah.
And that scene where she hands him the shield, and mm-hmm. she says, if you die, I'm going to be eligible for the lottery because I'm still a virgin. And then that fades to black. I'm like, are we saying brown chicken, brown cow?
I would like to say yes.
You think he rendered her ineligible?
I think she did. I think that's the implication, at least.
Okay.
I think we can infer that from the situation.
Sharon and I were not sure from the situation.
Again,
we watched
it's a PG thing, you know, and that kind of long, passionate kiss they share, I think, is the lead-in.
Right.
I think that's the open-end foreplay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
It would have been, I mean, you know, more helpful to...
would have changed the movie.
It would have been more helpful to watch him, like, zip up his boot afterward or something.
Oh, pull the Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
The zip of a boot.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get that when I was little. That's what that
right,
means.
Right, and
I
that's
mean,
the
of
thing.
Course I do
that's
now,
the point.
But yeah.
That's
right, you would have got, the grown-ups in the audience would have gotten right. it, and the kids
yes.
in the audience would have been, well, I guess he took his shoes off for a second.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Don't know why, but he's mm-hmm. zipping his boot, yeah.
Little zippity-doo-dah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Sharon.
Yes, sir.
I want you to tell me, on a scale of 1 to 5, how many gold pieces you give this movie?
I think you should ask that question to Pete first.
Okay. All right. Pete.
Chris.
Let me ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 5, how many gold pieces do you rate this movie?
I'm going to rate this 4, mostly because it hasn't aged well, special effects-wise. But I think performance, storyline, and overall enjoyment, I'm going to give it 4 points.
I got to agree with you. Yeah. It's pretty solid. I'm going to give it 4 gold coins and 2 silver pieces.
No!
Well
no!
done.
Oh
yeah,
oh
I'm
going to
give it 4 gold coins, 2 silver pieces, and 3 coppers.
All right.
Oh my goodness. No! No! I cannot.
What is your rating for this?
No! Oh, this is so difficult for me because... not 4. No, 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 no. I would have. I liked Aragon much better than this one. And I'm sorry,
Sharon,
but
you're dead to me.
I know, and I'm your wife, so that's really bad, and it's premeditated. But I would say, I'll cut one gold piece in half, and I'll say, for me, you know, like 2.5.
So 2 gold and an electrum?
No. No. I mean, you know, I guess hearing you guys, I mean, I could push it up to 3 because
yeah,
I love both of you. But, you know, only because you explained some things, but I'm nowhere near a 4. Even if Chris offered to, like, take me ballroom dancing, I just couldn't. I couldn't be convinced.
Two and a half coins is a solid C, and we both gave it Bs. So.
Right. I would like to believe that it is not the lens of nostalgia that is making me give it 4 coins, 2 silver. But, you know, there are some things in this movie that you don't do anymore. Like, you don't... I mean, it moves kind of slow.
Yes.
For a movie today.
Yes.
And I think... He wouldn't have made 2 trips to the cave. He would have figured out the fire on the water the first time after he got his ass kicked.
Right, but I think that's kind of cool. I like the fact that it came to him later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have to tell you straight up that this was the first time I'd seen the movie in 34 years.
Right. Well, roughly the same for me, too, 30 years.
And I had forgotten the ending.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when Ronan and I were sitting here watching it, that's my son, And it came to the realization that it was actually the sorcerer's plan all along.
Uh-huh.
Ronan was like, oh, that's really clever. And I was like, it is, isn't it? That's really freaking slick. And
know,
I think it's also very poignant that at the beginning, and Ronan pointed this out to me also, that he says dragons used to dot the skies. If it weren't for sorcerers, there would be no dragons. And so it's only appropriate that the last surviving sorcerer takes out, apparently, the last surviving dragon.
Yes.
So.
I concur.
It frames the story.
Sharon and Pete, you may find it interesting, or you might not, to learn that Rotten Tomatoes roughly agrees with Pete and me.
Oh, nice.
Rotten
really?
Tomatoes gives this an 86%. However,
nice.
IMDb is more on the Sharon side. It gives it 6.7 user ratings.
Now, I'd like to point out one very interesting fact about this movie that I find always kind of morbidly funny, and that is that out of, shall we say, the top 7 actors...
Oh, yeah, they're all dead.
Four of them are dead.
Both Caitlin Clark and the person who played the victim, Yolanda Palfrey,
both
died in their 50s.
Yes.
That's scary.
The guy was also played Voltan's legal advisor, Flash Gordon, and he passed away relatively soon. Greel is dead, which amazed me because I could have sworn I saw him in the end of the 2000s, but he died back in 91.
Yeah. Oh, did you notice that some people called him Grail and some people called him Greel?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Chris, you totally bleeped out.
Some people called him Grail and some people called him Greel.
Well, I found it very interesting that the guy who makes the statement that she was that Valerian was twice the man of anyone in this village and now she's twice the woman too, called him Grail.
Right.
And he's the one who's first questions the priest about acts of God.
Yeah.
So
I don't think that was an accident.
I don't think so either.
So, gentlemen, what is our next movie?
Our next movie coming up, we are going to talk about The Princess Bride.
Oh, my favorite. I can't wait. Oh, you're such a wonderful husband.
Wow, I guess I am.
Yeah, I can't wait to do Princess Bride. So in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Join us then.
Woo-hoo.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to Dragon Reel. For more information and previous episodes, find us at dragonreel.com. If you want to request a movie, use the suggestion form on the website or drop us a line at dragonreelpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dragonreel or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/dragonreel.